Talia, Reese, and Julia do it so well. Shows and tell.
Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Jude.
Oh my god.
I can hear you.
Aye, aye, Jude.
Welcome back.
I was gonna go into it.
We're about to get sued for like hearing loss.
I definitely broke my mic.
For our listeners. Guys, welcome back to S&T. This week we're talking about one of my, if not my favorite show of all time.
No, this possibly can't be your favorite show. There's been so many.
I think that this might be my favorite show of all time.
I also think this might be the first TV show that all of us genuinely agree on.
It might be.
Well, you guys will hear, like, I have things to say.
Oh, no.
No, it's nothing.
No.
T's going to be a hater on this one.
No, I'm not going to be a hater.
T's going to be a hater on this one.
Okay, first of all, I think I'm due to be a hater. I think it's okay if I am one.
I guess.
I don't know.
Huge. I think it's fine.
Huge, is this going to be a me, you team up episode?
No fucking way.
You know, that's rare, and I think it might be.
Hell yeah.
You know, when it does happen, me and Reese go hard.
I was going to say, yeah, that's, I feel like.
You guys are an interesting duo.
God made us very different people.
Incredibly so.
We're like a Venn diagram that barely has anything in the middle. But when we hit that middle sliver, chaos. Oh my god.
That's actually really true in like all aspects of our lives, Reese.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
What other similarities? What other things do you guys have in common? Besides being in love with me.
We're both attracted to men that look like Julia's dad.
Anyway, I'm kind of out of my element right now. Like I feel weird doing it, but let's just start off with
I love a Julia episode.
Really?
I love it.
I'm so happy to hear that.
I feel like we recorded Jersey Shore like recently.
We did, but wait, I don't know. We've just
Juge, were you Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
She thought it was me.
No, I just associate one of my least I associate one of my least favorite states with you. So I just assumed you did it. If New Jersey has a million haters, I'm one of them. If it has
That's another thing I agree with Reese on.
If it has 10 haters, I'm one of them. If it has one hater.
If you guys were ever wondering if TikTok famed star Reese talks in TikToks, he fucking does. And it is.
I do. Yeah.
Brutal.
It's actually so true.
It is brutal.
Material Reese. I don't know.
Like, if you're ever wondering, like, what kind of fucking, like, idiot, like, talks in TikToks. Sorry, that was so
That's
harsh.
My grievance of the week.
That was so aggressive.
That was so harsh.
Yeah.
Considering, I apologize to Reese before we started recording for yelling at him last episode, and I was like, hey, are we good? And now I'm trying to get back on his bad side.
He yelled at me last episode, apologized, and then yelled at me for not accepting her apology.
Apologized, asked him why he didn't acknowledge my apology.
I mean, you just said sorry, so I was like, okay, cool.
My apology, and then now I'm back, I think, criticizing him. Do you guys want to talk about SpongeBob or no?
Yes. Okay, wait. Okay. How are you guys doing, first of all? We've already talked to each other a lot this week, but like any updates in the last 48 hours? Sorry.
Not really, but I really I very much enjoy having to rehash SpongeBob in my head. Just like from understanding that we were going to do this episode, I've just been thinking of more and more funny things.
Same.
Any last words, Doodlebob? And he goes, nia flabble bobble bobble. And he's like, and he goes, what was that? And he goes, nia flabble bobble bobble.
Wow, so I think good. About it, like, a lot of Reese's humor is very SpongeBob.
Oh, it is very SpongeBob.
So is like, mine.
I mean, and SpongeBob fully commits to the bit. Yeah, it's just good stuff. You got to ask him a question first. What color is my underwear? It's so good. Oh,
it's
man.
It's so good. So the way that the idea for this episode came up is we were all hanging out last Friday and we have our little study halls and I love it. Sometimes we all work together and we work from home. And someone like said a joke from SpongeBob. I don't remember what it was.
It was probably Reese being like,
Nosferatu.
Yeah. And I was like, wait, that's literally my favorite show. So I want to know, what is your guys's history with SpongeBob, just so we can lay that foundation for our listeners?
Okay, I'm going to go first, I think, because it seems like Reese might be talking forever. Okay, when I was a child, obviously I was a huge television watcher, obviously. My mom was very vocal about what shows she liked and didn't like. And there were some points of life, I think there was a short period of time that we were not allowed to watch SpongeBob. That was, I knew. And
you were one of those kids.
Threw his head against the pillow.
I knew you were one of those kids.
I wasn't that kid forever. Like, she did get over it. Like, I've definitely seen, I would say, the majority of the episodes. But that's how it started off. So I started off not being that. Was never my primary, like, I'm a child and I'm sitting down to watch television after school and I'm putting on SpongeBob. That was never it. However, I do believe that I've seen the majority of the episodes, and today watching it was this crazy time warp. And my roommate and I just like both felt it as soon as we like, even just like the quality of the animation just made me feel like I was a child. Which is super fucking whack and emotional. And like, I don't like, I actually thought it was hysterical. We thought the humor was really, really, really funny. And like it aged really well. I think personally.
Yeah.
So I'll say that I think I actually like it now more than when I was a kid. Cause I really wasn't like the biggest fan. And I think it's funnier now. And the other thing that I just want to say, I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the podcast, but I think it's a pretty significant like aspect of my life. When I was younger, there were certain shows, episodes of TV shows and movies that I saw, and they made me have a very like visceral emotional reaction, like usually like a negative one. And there were a couple of episodes of SpongeBob specifically, like I really did not like that episode where like SpongeBob is with his grandma, and then I'm like, oh my god, like I like choke up thinking about it. It's with his grandma, and then he's like, oh, like I'm too big of a kid, like I'm too big for like all this love, grandma. And then, oh my god, and then she gives love to Patrick, and then he has like a breakdown, like, and he's like, no, grandma, like, I want your love back. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
I know. Of course.
Yeah, of course.
It makes me, and like, if we ever want to get into all of the different shows that have, I can like list every single like movie and television episode that has made me just like when I was a kid, makes me like want to crawl up and inside myself. And it made me so upset. It's so upsetting to think about. So like sometimes when I think about SpongeBob, I'm like, oh my god, the like grandma episode, I don't like that.
That's so interesting. I kind of had that reaction to the episode. It's like the rock bottom episode where, do you know what I'm talking about? It's scary.
It is so funny.
Is it the bus one?
Yes, they're like, with they the keep missing bar? The bus.
Oh god, it's so tough. Yeah, that one I didn't like either, but it didn't make me like cry and feel like
when he's putting his hand. When he's putting his hand in the vending machine and the bus slowly inches forward every time, I lose it.
It's horrible. No, it's great.
Can I share?
Yes.
Can I share my experience? Done. Okay.
Yes.
I loved this show as a kid. It was one of my favorite shows. I still love the show now. The humor is great for kids because it's like, you know, like Patrick will get hit in the head with like a bowling ball. But like today, so fucking funny.
It's so
Patrick
funny.
Putting on a plat like a rubber glove and going, "Don't touch me, I'm sterile." Like it is just,
it's so,
it is
funny.
So good. And like the way that like it'll sometimes cut to like humans, like it is just such absurd, artistic,
yes,
and insane show. And it really is, like there are some episodes that are really like really well done. There's some, like, there's the one where Squidward gets, like, lost in dimensions and time travels.
Yeah, wait, those freak me out.
Yeah, he goes to the future and like it's existentialism. Yeah, but like there's some really good stuff, and it's just a really artfully like designed show. Like the perfume department with Davy Jones's locker. It's just really funny, really creative. And I genuinely love the show.
I love the human scenes when like, or when they like,
so
go
funny.
That's a good point.
When we were watching it, I just turned to Emily and I go, Sandy is from Texas. And she's a squirrel. And
now Sandy is a squirrel underwater. In a suit.
She lives in the tree dome.
Yeah.
And she like does
cream with Sandy cheeks.
It's so funny.
Yeah,
the karate. No, I think that is what makes SpongeBob so good, is that it is absurd. Like, none of it makes sense. And it's kind of like its own, like, there's a SpongeBob universe. And, like,
yeah,
you just have to accept that, like, some things are the way that they are. And I actually included, like, a little section in my notes that says what makes the show so good, in my opinion. And this is, like, what I've boiled it down to. In my opinion, one, the adult humor we've already talked about, like all the jokes are still funny to this day. Like I was watching, so we all watched the Weenie Hut Juniors episode, and I couldn't stop laughing. I can't tell if it's because my sense of humor was formed by the show, and I think things like Weenie Hut Junior are funny because I watched this at a formative age, or if because it's just funny. But I couldn't stop laughing. The second is the characters, and like how distinct they are all are, and how much of a personality, like random characteristics that they all have. Like, why is Mr. Krabs cheap? Like, that's his main personality
so
trait.
Funny.
Like, what? Like, SpongeBob's whole personality is that he's a pussy. and then like, it's just so funny. And then the last thing is, I feel like the show is so evergreen. Like, it literally, like, it's been on for 23 years, and it's so funny. All the episodes, like, could be made today, in my opinion.
What do you know what season they're on?
Yeah, they are on the 14th season.
Jesus.
I'd expect more.
Yeah. So I can backtrack a little bit and kind of talk about how the show started, because I actually had no idea. I feel like everyone kind of was, like, familiar with the guy who was the voice of SpongeBob, but, like, I never knew about the creator of the show, and he's actually very interesting. So the creator is actually this guy named Steven Hillenburg, who was a marine science educator and also an animator. So he was actually a scientist who was a college professor, and he did a lot of research in marine biology for many years. But he was also very passionate about illustration and art. He studied experimental animation at the California Institute of the Arts, while also working as a staff artist at the Ocean Institute. And many of the ideas for the show actually originated from a comic book that he wrote for his students called The Intertidal Zone, which he wrote in 1989. He began developing SpongeBob SquarePants into a TV series in 1996, and in 97, he pitched a 7-minute pilot to Nickelodeon. The Nick executives actually gave him like 2 weeks to write the pilot, and they immediately loved it. But they wanted SpongeBob to be a child in school, which I think is really interesting, because that's another thing that I never thought about while watching the show growing up. But SpongeBob is an adult. Like, the show is and that's another reason why I think it's still funny to us, is because it's about adult situations. Like, it's about SpongeBob working his job, and it's about him, like, you know, being an adult. So the way that the show's founder and Nick kind of agreed on that point was that they had SpongeBob attend boating school, and they created the character of Mrs. Puff so that he could still attend school as an adult, which I think is funny, because Mrs. Puff is also one of the funny – that's like one of the funniest lines in the storylines in the show, is how he keeps failing his boating license.
Yeah.
And there's that one episode where he's like, what I learned in boating school is –
oh, where he's writing an essay?
Yeah.
The And then the mailman's like, shouldn't you be writing an essay? And he's like,
such a crazy show.
Yeah. So I thought
wait one second, can I one more thing?
Yeah.
When he asked when he's like, you know, as it being a mailman, he's like, it puts a bread on the table, and then he goes, rye or pumpernickel.
How do you remember all of these lines?
I'm telling you, this show is so formative to my sense of humor. Yeah. It really was. Like, how we discussed this with iCarly, where it's like, yeah, that kind of random, like, just insane humor is, I don't think parents find it funny. I think it's because we watched it as kids that we find it funny.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it doesn't seem like something that should be mainstream. But it really was. Like, I don't know if they would have made it today, but it's still funny today. And I think it genuinely is a quality show. I mean, it was the fifth longest running animated series in America. It's the highest rated series to ever air on Nickelodeon. And probably the most revenue generating, if I had to guess. As of 2019, the show has generated over $13 billion in just merchandise revenue for Nickelodeon.
Wow. Which
is insane.
That's a lot of SpongeBob Ice Pops.
I was gonna say, I've definitely had a SpongeBob Ice Pop. I've definitely owned like a SpongeBob backpack when I was a kid, and like SpongeBob like pajama pants.
I definitely had like SpongeBob sweatshirt or something when I was a kid. I remember
I loved it as a kid. I was obsessed. It was like, I think like one of my birthday parties, I had like SpongeBob plates, and like, big fan.
It really had a chokehold on our generation, and like, it's crazy because it's kind of been around like as long as we've been alive. So
do you think it still has an effect on kids the way it does on us? Like, do you think like 8 and 9 year olds today are like,
I feel like it doesn't.
We should like get a baby on here to like give their opinion.
Paw Patrol.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. There's like other things that I feel like have a bigger chokehold on the kids.
That's police propaganda. It's disgusting.
Is it? I don't even know anything about these new shows. Yeah.
The dogs are police officers.
Crazy.
That's really funny. That's really funny. Yeah, I don't know. It would be good to interview like a 10-year-old and be like, do you watch SpongeBob?
That would be a really interesting thing on the pod.
Yeah. When I was looking up like scandals and stuff, like there wasn't a lot, and we'll get into it. But one of the things is like, a lot of people have been saying like the quality of the show has like really declined recently. But like, at the same time, you know, it's been 23 years. The show premiered in 1999. Like, how can it keep being funny? But anyway,
not every single winner is gonna, geez, not every single episode is gonna be a winner. Like when you're, you know, going on 20 years.
Also, yeah, the creator's dead.
Yeah,
he passed on, so it's like,
was it like untimely?
He was young. I think he was only in his 50s.
Oh.
I think he passed like 2 years ago or something. Yeah, it was really recent.
In 2018.
And really annoying.
Oh, he had ALS. That's really bad.
Lou Gehrig's.
Yes.
And something that really pisses me off.
That's really bad.
Something that really pisses me off, and I feel like it'll probably come up later in the episode, is that he never wanted spinoffs or anything like that of SpongeBob. And like, the second he dies, Nickelodeon immediately announces like a prequel, a spinoff, and like sequels. And like, that was his only thing, and they literally just like waited until he died.
Yeah.
Terrible.
That makes me sad. It's not very respectful.
Yeah.
No, it's not. They'll say like, yeah, they'll do all their in memoriams and all their, he was a great man, but the one thing, his dying wish, they don't follow because it would lose the money. So annoying.
Yeah. So this isn't one scandal that I was going to talk about later, but I'll talk about it now. So there was actually like just a couple weeks ago, like this massive fan project that was developed in honor of Hillenburg. And basically like all these different animators recreated the SpongeBob movie that was like the Nickelodeon movie.
Yeah.
And they basically like recreated it with work from 300 different animators, and they uploaded it to YouTube, but it was almost immediately removed for copyright infringement by Paramount. And then hashtag justice for SpongeBob was trending for a very long time on Twitter.
I did not know that. Is it still up on YouTube?
No, it was literally taken down. Like, you couldn't even watch the whole movie. Like, it was only up for like a few minutes, but it was apparently this like huge project that like all the fans were really involved in. I'm honestly like not really sure why they did it, but
that's interesting.
That was very, I mean, the show is still like, you can tell like how big it's had on so many people. I'm going to backtrack a little bit One thing I want to do is, like, I feel like I do this a lot in my episodes where I kind of just make, like, a list of things that I like to run through. So I made a list of some of what I thought were some of the best episodes and jokes and moments from the show, and kind of just, like, run through it and hear your guys' thoughts, see what you guys have to say. Well, let me first ask you guys, do you have a favorite episode?
That's tough, because, like, I feel like everyone has favorite bits and everything like that, but as far as episodes, I'm trying to think of, I feel like the Krabby, not the Krabby Patty, the Krabby Pizza episode, yes, I always love.
The Krusty Krab Pizza.
Yeah, yeah, I do like that one.
For you and me. I like that one a lot. I also like the one where Patrick has, like, or no, is it, yeah, Patrick has, like, a private box and SpongeBob wants to, like, yes, investigate what's in it. That one always cracked me up. Yeah. And, like, and Patrick would, like, sleepwalk and hit him with the rock and be like, spiders! Yeah. Spiders!
Yeah. There was, a funny one. One scene that I was just, like, so enthralled, encapsulated by, and it was, like, you know how it gets, like, artistically and visually different when they get out of water?
Yes.
You know the scene when they're using SpongeBob and Patrick as, like, to wash a human body?
Yeah.
Yes.
What is the context?
Because
it's in the movie.
No,
right?
No. I know what it's from. It's from the episode where he has the suds.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, to get rid of the suds. That's the same episode where Patrick goes, "Don't touch me, I'm sterile." But when they have the suds, they go through, like, a big cleaning thing, and, like, someone washes them and everything like that, and it cleanses them.
I think that's my favorite. I think it's that so scene, insane. Like, the thought of that scene is so funny to me.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because I could, like, feel, like, I can feel that, like, starfish on my body for some reason. Like, I feel it.
That's a good one. I'm trying to think what else.
Guys, really, why did SpongeBob put starfish on the map?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, the guy was a marine biologist.
Yeah.
He's probably done more for the science community than anyone I could think of.
Actually, I was going to talk about this later, but there's actually been several species of organisms that have been named in reference to SpongeBob.
I love that.
So, like, in 2011, a new species of mushroom called Spongiforma squarepantsi was described and named after SpongeBob. And then in 2019, a series of sea sponge, Clothria Hillenbergi, was named in honor of Hillenberg.
Aww.
And then in 2020, this is actually really cute, there was a species of sea star that was named after Patrick Star. It was called Astrolurus patricki, because that specific species of sea stars was often found with sponges.
Aww.
So it was a reference to their friendship.
That's really cute.
That's adorable. Okay, another good episode, The Magic Conch.
Yeah, I like that episode.
Yeah, that's a really good one. That's a really good one.
Can I have a delicious Krabby Patty? Yes. And then Squidward's like, can I please? No. Please? No. Please?
Really funny.
No.
That's so funny. And, like, I like how none of the shows, like, tried to teach a lesson or, like, you know,
Julia hates to learn.
Yeah, they just had no meaning. They just were funny and absurd. So one of my favorites, and it's actually the most watched episode of SpongeBob ever, is the Super Bowl episode.
Oh my god.
Yeah. That one, Reese, do you want to describe?
It's okay, so basically Squilliam Fancy Son. that's his name. Squilliam Fancy Son's basically like the Squidward, like, you're not a musician, blah, blah, blah. And then Squidward's like, we're performing, you know, a halftime show. And he's like, oh, yeah, you and what band? And then, like, Squidward has to put together a band. And, like, Patrick asks his mayonnaise is an instrument. Two guys are twirling a baton too fast. They, like, crash into a blimp.
Oh, my God, guys.
And then SpongeBob whips him into shape after Squidward has a panic attack. And they perform Sweet Victory. And, like, it's one of those scenes where there's, like, humans crying and, like, waving lighters. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's one of the most iconic episodes of SpongeBob ever. And it actually had an effect on the real Super Bowl. So after Hillenburg died in 2018, more than 1.2 million fans signed a petition for the NFL to have the song Sweet Victory from the show.
I signed that petition.
Perform, yeah, in on the Super Bowl halftime show. And even like the Atlanta Stadium's Twitter, which was hosting the Super Bowl at the time, tweeted a gif of SpongeBob dancing from that episode. And then Maroon 5, who were performing at that game, included a clip of the show in like their preview video leading up to their performance. But it was just like, and I'm just being Travis Scott, but anyway. I thought that was really cool because like that was like literally like 15 years after that episode premiered, and it's still so relevant. I reference Weenie Hunt Jr.'s almost every week. Like, like if I don't like someone, I'm like, you belong at Weenie Hunt Jr.'s. The whole like storyline of Plankton is actually also really funny to me, and his electronic wife, Karen.
Love her.
And also just like, wait, the rivalry.
I was going to talk about Plankton, guys. Like, I get him. You know, like I really understand him. I feel like he's misunderstood.
Why do you think that?
I don't think so. I think we need to bring back enemies. I feel like today everyone tries to get along, and like even if like you don't like one another, you're not actual enemies. We need to bring back like arch nemeses, like true competition.
Yeah. Like I hear you.
Wishing the downfall upon others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys. Yeah. Like, he wanted what he wanted, and like, I respect somebody who goes after what they want, you know? And he was ruthless about it.
He is ambitious.
Yeah, he was ambitious. He was like a ladder climber. He was, you know, just going after it. Like, that's what we do every day.
He's a hustler.
The chum bucket.
Wait, do you remember that episode where SpongeBob goes and works the chum bucket?
Yeah, and then they have that great song. Without you, it's just just a greasy spoon. Without you, it's good. That was a tearjerker.
It is good.
There's some great songs in SpongeBob.
That's actually very true. So I wrote down a few of them: the fun song, the campfire song, the striped sweater.
Yeah, I like the striped sweater one.
It's
true. Sing it.
The best time to wear a striped sweater is all the time.
That was really good.
Was it?
Even the ones with the turtleneck.
That's the guy.
And then he starts singing, like, when you're wearing, and they're like, boo.
A striped sweater.
You know what the actual best song is?
What?
When Big Larry came round to put him down.
So funny.
SpongeBob turned into a clown. Because no one
ever wants to dance.
With the fool who went and then his voice gets so deep and he's like, I know I should mumble in. It's a good song.
Yeah, no, it's a good song.
It really is.
Julia, you don't have... my favorite SpongeBob bit is just my leg. You don't have
my leg. That is a good one. I thought that was like too obvious, but yes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know what my favorite is, and which gets repeated like all the time. And I feel like also so many of these have just like made it into like the everyday language.
Vernacular.
Is I have glass bones and paper skin.
I don't know that one.
Every morning I wake up and break my legs.
And then I break my arms.
That one. Oh, the chocolate. Chocolate.
That's
a good one.
Yeah.
Also, you know what, do you ever think about how fucking crazy the human brain is?
Like, imagine explaining this.
How am I pulling all of this out of my ass?
All of these things are just stuck in our brain. And it's just like, they're just in the deep recesses. Like, do you know what I use constantly?
What?
Whenever I'm hungry, like I walk into a deli, rev up those fryers. I sure am hungry.
You imagine like explaining to a pilgrim, like turn the M upside down and it becomes Wumbo.
Wumbo. Oh my God. Wait. I know we're not a character comparison yet, but do you guys have a favorite character?
That's
like
a good
question. Who you're most like, but like who you genuinely enjoy the most.
Mr. Krabs, maybe.
I think, like, maybe Mr. Krabs, I think, and Plankton and Sandy. I think Sandy's funny.
You know what I like? I like the relationship between SpongeBob and Squidward, because
that's a good one. It's like a good dynamic.
I feel like I've had that relationship with a lot of people, both where I've been the SpongeBob and the Squidward, and it's just great. Do you have a favorite?
Do you know who I think? Do you know who I think is an underrated character because of how loved he is, but he's still that good? Patrick.
Yes.
Patrick, like, everyone's like, oh, Patrick's great. He's the best. He's hysterical.
Yes.
Do you know what also? Do you know what's been making the rounds on TikTok, which has also been cracking me up? The one where Patrick's like, oh, and then SpongeBob's like, put it, he goes, put it in the NPR.
Yeah.
gave the best years of my life to this place, and they're just going to throw me out like that, like trash? I don't think.
Yeah, when we were working together a few weeks ago, Julia and I were trying to leave, and Reese just kept saying that. Huh? I was just saying that.
Put it in the NPR.
Like, okay. Like, what do you want me to say?
Gave the best years of my life to this place.
That's so funny. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think we could, this whole episode could be
just, yeah,
just talking about our funny, like our favorite moments and funny references.
Step on your right foot. Don't forget it.
Oh my God. Also, like, I like how it's just not logical at all. Like, how did Mr. Krabs give birth to Pearl? Well,
I mean, I don't think he gave birth.
Okay, but like,
how did he procreate with a whale?
Yeah.
Well, she could have been adopted.
Yeah, she could have been adopted.
I guess. Remember that episode where, like, it was, like, Pearl's birthday party, and they...
Boys Who Cry!
Boys
Who Cry. It's all about you, Pearl.
Yes!
On your 16th birthday. Another banger.
Like, Mr. Krabs is the best. Like, he got it, her fucking favorite boy band on her 16th birthday. Like, that's baller.
I'm pretty sure SpongeBob got Boys Who Cry. Because Mr. Krabs originally hired Squidward.
Oh my
and
God.
Then he got booed off stage.
Wait, also Squidward playing the clarinet.
Yeah, so that's funny. That's a good storyline.
Like, yeah. It's just so random. Like, I just love it. I'm gonna rewatch the show. Like,
it's so good.
I literally, yeah, it's so good.
Oh my God, what is popping up into my head? There was an episode maybe where, like, SpongeBob couldn't sleep, and then also a bunch of people couldn't sleep. Squidward was involved, so was Patrick. Like,
I kind of know what you're talking about.
There's an episode where SpongeBob goes into other people's dreams and messes with them.
Yes!
Because Squidward's like, he's dreaming about performing in front of like a king, and then SpongeBob pops up and messes it up, and then he pretends to be the clarinet, and he just goes, wah!
Yes,
wah!
Yes!
Yeah!
I think that's
and then Squidward's like, oh my God, he's ruining my night, and the king's like, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So funny.
Oh my God.
It's just so funny.
I guess that, like, it's, like, totally great that we're doing this, because, like, the premise of the pod is just, like, explaining how shows got so fucking popular, and, like, this is how, like, we are all sitting here, like,
they're just
viewing.
Yeah.
You know?
That's my favorite thing to do in my episodes. Okay, let me talk about just, like, we've already been through a lot of the ones I've wanted to mention, but I'll give a few more just like production fun facts and scandals. So some ideas for the original name of SpongeBob were Sponge Boy and Bob the Sponge, but then they decided they needed to give him a last name, which is where SpongeBob SquarePants came in.
Yeah.
Bikini Bottom, which is the name of the town that they all live in, is based off of an actual real coral reef in the Pacific Ocean called the Bikini Atoll, which I think is interesting. Also, one of my favorite things about the show is also how Squidward, Patrick, and SpongeBob are all neighbors, and how their houses are a pineapple, a rock, and then whatever Squidward's house is.
Now, like
Squidward
an actual lives, house.
Yeah, and then he lives in between them.
Yeah,
and then there's that like one episode where like they all have the like
rock,
Squidward.
The rock thing is funny, guys.
Yeah,
the rock because
he's stupid because he lives under a rock,
and like,
but it's so funny, like, because
stick against it.
Like, usually, yeah, he sticks against it, and then there's just ground. But some episodes, he has like a full living room, and it just changes. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's so funny. There's like this one, I was like looking up scandals, and there was this one I literally didn't even include it in my notes because I was like, this is not real. But people like a few years ago were saying that like SpongeBob is depicting like colonism because they're in, they're like, I don't know.
You mean colonialism?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's what I meant.
That's hanging.
Guys, I can't.
Yeah, speak. Some people think SpongeBob is having a colonoscopy.
Guys, stop. Guys,
wait, how is it about colonialism?
I don't even know. I'm looking this up now because I didn't even include it because I was like, this is so stupid and not real. And also, like, someone said it was like a commentary on like social class because SpongeBob like works in a fast food restaurant or something like that. Okay, so a professor said that SpongeBob SquarePants promotes violent and racist colonialism because the actual Bikini Atoll is where natives were relocated by the U.S. government for nuclear testing. Anyway, okay, so SpongeBob came out in like the year 1999.
Oh, good for him.
That's a good segue.
Yeah. So in like 2002, when the show got, so the show was popular from the beginning, but like obviously as the years went on, it became more popular. So in 2002, it was pretty big. And people started freaking out because they said that SpongeBob was gay, and everyone was like, people, like, all these, like, evangelical Christian groups started saying that if you watch SpongeBob, that you would turn gay.
That's generally how it goes.
Yeah, and how, like, you know, it's promoting, like, whatever, because apparently SpongeBob is, like, flamboyant, in air quotes.
I mean, he is, I mean, but, like,
whatever. So the creator of the show literally made a statement that SpongeBob was asexual. Like, why is that necessary? Why couldn't he have just been gay? I guess with that.
Because he's not. He is. I like, there's no, like.
Yeah, he's just a gender fluid, sexually fluid, just like. I mean, no, my favorite. One of my favorite bits from it is when, like, they're on that fishing trip. Mr. Krabs, Squidward, and SpongeBob.
Yes.
And he, like, he does, like, the blue lips on the dollar bill. And then he's like, this isn't real. And he's like, it's actually Coral Number 5. The lipstick, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. There's also that one scene where Mr. Krabs is like, you look like a girl. And then SpongeBob's like, am I a pretty girl?
Pretty girl. He goes, no. So, oh, yeah. And Patrick and SpongeBob are married in an episode when they have baby clam. Yeah, they have a baby clam together.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick does nothing, and SpongeBob's like a stay at home mom.
Yes. Wait, guys, I was curious. Is there any romantic storyline ever?
Yes.
SpongeBob and Sandy a little bit.
No. Mr. Krabs and Mrs. Puff.
Yes. Oh my God. Nice. Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is funny.
Karen and Plankton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pearl and Pearl takes SpongeBob to prom.
Nice.
So. Oh, yes.
There's that.
I'm literally reading this article about SpongeBob and Sandy's relationship. Wait, also, apparently real life sea sponges are asexual, which is why SpongeBob is asexual.
How do they, like, come to be?
I think they
break off, right? And, like, start a new piece.
I'm pretty sure, they reproduce
asexually. Yeah.
Asexually.
Do they have brains?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
No, they have, like, I think they have, like, neurons, yeah, that, like, I don't think that they have a centralized nervous system.
The sponge is, like, the closest thing to an inanimate object that a living thing can be.
I did take eBio my senior year, second semester. So I did learn about this.
Do not talk about eBio.
Yeah, we're not talking about that time in my life. It was traumatic. I had lab on Thursday mornings. Anyway, I kind of like that there isn't, like, a lot of, like, love storylines in the show. I think it just leaves it to be, like, ridiculous. And, like, each episode also stands alone, which I like. Like, you don't – there are, like, themes and, like, motifs throughout the show that and, like, storylines that – but there's not, like –
No, it's not like you have to watch once on, like, they'll have, like, Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy come back a few times, like, throughout the show. But, like, there's not an actual, like, storyline thread.
Yeah. There's just recurring themes. Like, for example, like SpongeBob annoying Squidward, SpongeBob like annoying Mr. Krabs at work, SpongeBob and Patrick's friendship and annoying
I was gonna say jellyfishing, like something going on with Gary. Like, there's always Gary.
He's a good snail.
And he goes meow.
Yeah,
it's so really funny.
He honestly really is.
He meows, guys. Yeah.
So So in the SpongeBob universe, snails are cats, worms are dogs, seahorses are horses. I guess clams are birds, because those are the ones that fly and go chirp 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 chirp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so interesting, the SpongeBob universe. So I also
there a cockadoodle-doo of some, like, there's something done in cockadoodles. Barnacles?
Oh. Barnacles is, like, their curse word.
Barnacles.
Yeah. Which I love. Also, the episode where they're cursing, but it's, like, but it's, like, it's horse noises that, like, come out instead of curse words.
Yeah, they do a dolphin noise one of them.
Dolphin and, like, ship noises. That's a good one. That's a good one. Also, I just love the whole, like, nautical theme of it. So this is actually a fun fact. So when Hillenburg was pitching the cartoon to the Nickelodeon executives, he wore a Hawaiian shirt and he brought along an underwater tranium with models of the characters and played Hawaiian music to set the theme, which the Nick executives are all over that.
Yeah.
Love that. And going off of your Hawaiian theme, I do love the actual, like, not the soundtrack, but the score, where it's, like, the ukulele songs and, like, all of, like, the musical. Yeah, like, all the musical riffs in the show itself are really good. Like, they're really fun, and, like, the episode intros, like, the title cards where they're playing the music over it is always great. And, like, transitions have bubbles go across the screen.
Yeah, it just
it is a nautical show. Theme. It's fun.
It just keeps up the theme so well. Like, there's so much that you can do with it because there's so much going on in the ocean. And like, I like how it starts off with the pirate. And there's also that whole, like, the what's his name? The Flying Dutchman.
Well, there's a Flying Dutchman, but then there's a guy who's an actual human.
Yes,
that's a pirate.
Yes. Yeah.
Why am I blanking on his name? He has a parrot.
He was the narrator in the movie.
Patchy the Pirate.
Patchy the Pirate.
What? Patchy the Pirate, and then he has that, like, bird that's always fucking with him.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah. I don't know. There's just so much going on. So, yeah. Let me think if there's any other... Okay, so this... So, I kind of wanted to learn a little bit more about, like, how it's actually produced, because we haven't talked about a lot of animated shows, and I'm not going to get too much into this because there's just, like, a lot of technical things, but there's approximately 50 people who work together to animate and produce an episode of SpongeBob, which I thought it'd be more. Like, me too. That doesn't sound like a lot.
No.
But, I mean, it makes sense. So there's actually two different crews. So one in California that works there, and then one that works in Korea. So the California crew developed the storyboards for each episode, and then those are used as templates for the Korean crew, who animate each scene by hand and color each cell on computers and paint backgrounds. And then the episodes are then finished in back in California, where they're edited and have different music added. And then I was kind of researching, like, different types of animation, and so the first season was actually done completely with what's called cell animation, which is where they actually, like, hand paint each scene, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's entirely hand drawn.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Nuts.
It must be so time consuming. But honestly, I was looking back, like, we were watched from season 3, which probably came out in, like, 2002. And, it was pretty good quality, in my opinion, for that time period.
It just made me feel, like, safe, but it wasn't amazing quality.
I think the perfect animation was, like, the season 2. Because season 1 animation was, like, not... It wasn't janky. It was just, like, old. But then season 2 is, like, when they really nailed his form. Mm-hmm. Where it's, like, the later season, it looks... The later seasons, they all look too polished. But season 2 was, like, the perfect amount of technology available. Where he was, like... They all looked like they were in their prime.
That's actually so true. The only other scandal I had was, like, apparently there was, like, a 2009 commercial with Burger King that I guess they had like SpongeBob toys, and they're like, they wrote this like Baby Got Back song, and like people said it was like sexualizing SpongeBob, and it was like too sexual.
Terrible.
I don't know. Honestly, the fact that there hasn't been more scandals is like,
yeah,
kind of wild.
I feel like, yeah, people were like, pun intended, people were fishing for,
yeah,
shit.
I mean, listen, there's been so many people that I didn't even include any of them on the list because like everyone's gonna be mad about something. The conservatives said the show was like too liberal. The liberal people said the show was too conservative. Like,
lol.
They're both, yeah, like, everyone was freaking out about the gay thing.
sentence, I mean, can be applied to many things.
Yes. I'll conclude just by saying, like, it's genuinely a good show, and I think no one, like, I think my parents liked watching it out of all the cartoons that I had to watch as a kid. Like, I don't think they understood the jokes, and like, it was their sense of humor, but I think anyone can say that it's objectively funny, especially for our generation. And I think it really did shape our generation's sense of humor. And like, a lot of the like stupid, absurd shit I see on TikTok and like especially Vine reminds me of SpongeBob, because it just like was stupid shit that isn't funny, but then like, it's just like the way it's said makes it so funny, and like just how random it is. Like, what's funnier than 24? 25? Like, that's not funny, but it's so funny.
Pretty good.
And I think most people in our generation would agree.
I also think it benefits from like the Shrek effect, where in the years following, SpongeBob has been like memed so many times. Like, there's so many different memes and like offshoots of SpongeBob and references to it in other like shows and movies now, that like,
yes,
he can't die because of the fact that like it's now taken on a second life outside of the show.
Yeah. So the show has actually like been insane. I can't believe it's still running. Like, it's been renewed for the 14th season, and like you said, there are the now two spinoff series. One is called Camp Coral SpongeBob's Under Years, and then there's another one called The Patrick Star Show. But like you said, the creator of the show did not approve. And so actually there's also four more movies that are in the works, that include three new character spinoff films for Paramount Plus and a new theatrical SpongeBob movie, which will be interesting to see. I actually saw SpongeBob on Broadway too.
I was just gonna say that I saw it.
You saw it too?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was anything special.
No, but like, it existed.
Yeah.
I feel like the sets would have been fun.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It just, the storyline wasn't good. Like,
that kind of checks out.
It was like random. And like, the thing is, it wasn't like, it didn't capture like the absurd humor that had no meaning of SpongeBob. Like, it tried to assign like a meaningful storyline to SpongeBob, but it didn't work.
Yeah. SpongeBob needs to exist without any meaning.
I remember the actress that played Pearl, though, was great. I don't even know if the show's still running. We'll have to look it up. Okay. That's really all I had for you guys today before character comparison.
I thought this was a fun episode.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to get too much into like, you know, technical things or whatever. I just kind of wanted to talk about like my favorite things about the show. And
you know what? You told us how it's made. You told us who made it.
How it became how it was.
And you gave us plenty.
Okay, great. So
I'm satisfied.
I think this character comparison will be one of our best.
Okay. I looked ahead, but go at your notes.
Okay, so we talked about this last time. I think I'm a mix of Patrick and SpongeBob, but I'm more Patrick. I think that I just like,
I think you're Patrick.
I'm like a little lazy, and like sometimes I like to have no thoughts. I think Reese is Squidward.
Yeah,
but also I think we all have a little bit of SpongeBob in us.
I think it's a problem with me where I have like two sides where I think I'm very Squidward, but I could flip to very SpongeBob.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think you're both. I think we all honestly have a little bit of SpongeBob in us. I think Reese relates to SpongeBob in that he's so like, go get him, but he's also a little bit of like
a square.
Yes.
I feel like I oscillate. Like, every other day I'm either Squidward or SpongeBob. Like, I feel like Monday's episode when we were recording, I was definitely Squidward. Whereas today, I'm definitely SpongeBob.
Yeah. I think, well, I don't know. Tea was really hard to me because you definitely have a little bit of SpongeBob in you. I was also maybe going to say Sandy, but you brought up Mr. Krabs. And
I'm feeling...
Because you're down to business. Like,
yeah, I am.
Like, you are like, Mr. Krabs is a hustler. Maybe you're Plankton.
I was going to say tea. I think you might be Plankton.
Guys,
Plankton's hysterical.
I'm here for all of it. I see a Plankton in me. I see a Sandy in me. And I see a Mr. Krabs in me. I think SpongeBob in me. I think, like,
yeah.
No, I think you're Plankton. I think you're Plankton.
Like, yeah, I see that.
You're very driven.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Also, Plankton's hysterical.
So funny.
So funny.
And he has a yeah. So what should I go with? Am I SpongeBob or Squidward?
I think you're more Squidward.
Squidward.
By the way, I think Julia has some pearl in her.
Hmm.
Wow. Ooh. I can see that. I can see that.
She's girly.
Yeah.
She's girly. She's girly. She would definitely have boob art in her house.
Do you guys agree that I'm Patrick?
I see the Patrick.
I actually think I'm going to lean more towards Pearl.
Yeah.
I'm going to switch. I think, you know, I'm abandoning Patrick. I'm going Pearl.
I think I could also be Mrs. Puff.
No. Nah. She's too, like, irritated. Not irritated.
That's actually true. I think I'm, like, Mrs. Puff when I'm with my sister. And my sister is SpongeBob.
That's
like,
fair.
I just get annoyed by everything that they do.
Wait. By the way, while we're on the topic of shows and tell lore, because Reese was just like, oh, Julia's boob art. My cousin this week texted me and he was like, oh my God, Julia hooked up with Daniel Radcliffe. And I was like, yeah, yep, she did. He was like, this Jersey Shore, that's fantastic. I was like, thank you. Did you get to the part where you realized that we were joking that she didn't hook up with Daniel Radcliffe?
We are single-handedly keeping TMZ in business.
Oh my God, completely.
Yeah,
and they've said 100%. That before. They said that in their.
I'm gonna like leak
writing
the news to them. I'm gonna submit it to Dumois
about you and Daniel.
Yeah.
Okay, I had so much fun. I think we needed this.
Yeah, we needed a silly episode. Yeah, and I'm glad to bring. Episode. I'm glad. I'm always the one that brings that relief, and
yeah.
I'm happy to do it.
Now, my next episode, I'm going to do the Shoah, the 8-part, like 24-hour long documentary on the Holocaust.
Jokes. There really are two types of Jewish people: people who are willing to make Holocaust jokes, and people who are not.
Well, it's not a Holocaust joke per se.
I know you weren't making a Holocaust joke, but I'm just saying that statement.
I was making light in reference to SpongeBob. But yeah, we should not watch Shoah.
No.
Because that would take us several weeks. But I'm down to do an 8-parter.
Oh my God.
No, what's a good show? Because I'm next, right?
Yeah, you're next.
What's a good show I should do? We're going to figure this out while we're recording.
What have you been thinking about?
I don't know. I feel like I might want to go old. Like I might want to, you know.
Oh, that's
like
actually...
old.
Not necessarily. No, not necessarily old, but like I'm thinking maybe like 90s or something like that.
The Sopranos? I don't know.
Nah.
I'm looking up 90s shows.
80s even?
What 80s shows are you going to do?
I mean The Cosby Show would have a shit ton of scandals.
Oh, that's like, I actually used to watch that when I was a kid.
Yeah. Like
I did too.
I don't want to do maybe like The Nanny.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Yeah, that could be fun.
I'll think about it. Like maybe I'll do like a Nick at Night. Maybe I'll do a Nick at Night, like a George Lopez or like something like that. I'll give it some thought. Or like maybe I'll do like a Disney Channel like original show, like a
like a
Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
I would love
that. Yeah. I was thinking of suggesting Hannah Montana or Wizards of Waverly Place.
Do Sweet Life. We had so much good feedback on iCarly. I think people would love to hear about Sweet Life.
I think Sweet Life would be good.
It's a good one.
Yeah, there's some really fun anecdotes to do there. Do you know what?
I would love to see Reese do that because I feel like you always talk about such serious shows. It would be good for you to do one.
Yeah, let's do Sweet Life. I'm going to do it.
Okay, cool. I love that.
I'm locking it in, but not on deck.
Yeah.
No, we're not dumb.
Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. I'll touch upon on deck.
Wow, that's going to be another nostalgic one. Do you guys have grievances?
From Monday? probably. Let me think. Let me rack my brain real quick.
Yeah, honestly, I've been like, I haven't had many grievances, you guys.
Stale rice. I don't like stale rice. Like rice that has been in the fridge.
That doesn't bother me.
Well,
I have one.
Oh my God. Oh my God, guys, I have one.
Okay, do you go first? Go.
Reese go because he he was gonna speak.
My grievance are people that don't walk their dogs on leashes.
Yes, like, I hate that.
I love dogs and like I'm happy if they come up to me, but not everyone does. And people walk around with children.
Yes.
A person walking around with a baby shouldn't have to be worried about your dog because it's so cool that, oh, you train them well enough to walk alongside you or in front of you. Fuck you. Put it on a leash.
Yeah, I hate that.
That's yeah, really like, tough. There's places.
In the city,
for
you can do it in the suburbs.
Yes. As long as you're not around anyone.
Yeah.
Like, if you're around people, that dog should be on a leash. And like, yes, it's like, oh, he's so well behaved. Yeah. He's an animal.
It's not the people. It's like the safety of the dog.
Safety of the dog. No.
They get distracted and run into the street.
Safety of the dog. Safety of other people, though. Where it's like, if someone's walking around with a 3-year-old, they shouldn't have to be worried about like a dog on the loose. Or like, what if someone's scared of dogs? Like, no. That. And it's like, oh, no, but they're so cute. They're so well behaved. No, I don't care.
Yeah, I hate that.
I love dogs. But like, just on principle, do it in the coordinated areas.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, that's my grievance. Because I saw a guy walking his dog, and he was like,
"It's not a guy walking his dog."
Yeah, he looked like he thought he looked cool, and I'm like,
"You're not cool."
I want to make a citizen's arrest.
I love saying that. That's my favorite phrase. You know that?
No.
I always say I'm going to make a citizen.
I thought your favorite phrase was "They belong to Weenie Hut Jr."
Oh, well, and wait 1 second. Last SpongeBob reference before we go to Talia's grievance. I love the episode where Squidward buys pies and he's like, oh, these aren't pies. They're bombs. What?
Does he explain it? I like.
No. And then SpongeBob eats the pie and Squidward thinks that he ate the bomb. And then Squidward spends a full day with SpongeBob, but it turns out he actually ate a pie. And then SpongeBob drops a pie on Squidward's face and he blows up.
Oh my God. Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, man.
T, what's your grievance?
Okay, my grievance, and I really just want to, like, talk it out for a minute.
Okay.
So, we're recording this episode on May 18th, 2022. Did you guys, yesterday on May 17th, there was a free, and I sent it to you both, there was a free $15.
I can't get started on it.
Can you just explain?
Oh, I know. I literally did not partake because I'm like, I cannot deal with service workers who are like, that's so fucked up to them.
What happened was Grubhub gave a free coupon for $15 worth of lunch. It was like between like 11 and 2. And it was to all of Manhattan. It was all of New York City. Anyone in New York. Okay.
It's fucked up.
It's fucked up. But like, me, I'm going into the office like almost every single day. I'm paying a shit ton of money for lunch all the time. Like, this is like, oh my God, like I'm getting free lunch. Like, it's actually significant to me. So then it's 12 o'clock. I'm like, okay, 12 o'clock is early enough. I'm going to order my sushi. It's an around the corner place from Hudson Yards where I work. And it says it's going to get there 12:35 to 12:55. Like, totally fucking fine. Great. I'm working. I'm like waiting for my food. Meanwhile, I have like this important meeting that I've been waiting to have all day. It's at 2 o'clock. I'm waiting. My food's not coming. And I really cannot focus like when I'm hungry. Like I can't think about work or doing anything else. And then eventually it's like I'm calling the restaurant. It's 1 o'clock. I'm calling the restaurant because the tracker updater on Grubhub doesn't work.
What'd you order? I need to know.
It's just sushi, like a random sushi place. The tracker on Grubhub says like, oh, if the restaurant's gonna send their guy, then the tracker's not gonna update. I'm trying to like contact customer service. They're putting me in circles, like bullshit. Can't get a hold of the restaurant. Eventually, I'm like, I am just gonna go down into the elevator, get two sushi rolls from this perfectly good sushi that like my office cafeteria has. And I'm going to eat some fucking sushi. And then I'm going to go to my meeting. And then I'm in the middle of the meeting. And somebody calls me and they're like an out of breath delivery worker. Like, God bless his soul. Being like, have your food. And I'm like, I have to like, okay, like go, whatever, get my food. Fine. I ended up eating it today. And so whatever. And then at the end of the day, I have dinner with my friends and everyone's like, I never got my food. Like people, like Grubhub's calling them like at like 8 o'clock at dinner. So I want to wrap the story up by saying, dear Grubhub, this really could have been really good for your promos.
Like, no, it could never could have been good. Like they knew it was going to be
true.
Bad.
That's not true. If you prep and like, I don't know, like some type of communication with the restaurants that you work for being like, do you want to be involved in this promotion? There are plenty of
maybe
steps.
There was like certain restaurants that were involved in a limited number of times a coupon could be used.
Some type of limitations to like ensure that it would actually run smoothly. But
the way they set it up, I mean, it never could have run smoothly.
Exactly.
And like I saw people that work in PR posting about it on LinkedIn being like, look at all this amazing press we got for Grubhub. Like it's horrible.
Press.
No one restaurants had a horrible experience. The delivery drivers had a horrible experience, and the people.
I'm never using it again. And I've used it multiple, like many times, actually, just like recently for whatever reason. I'm never using it again. I've actually had a few bad scenarios with them.
So it wasn't even free. Everyone I know paid at least $10 because
I paid $6. Yeah.
Yeah, I paid $9.
But I just wanted to say that it was crazy.
Yeah, no, it's so fucked, and they didn't let any restaurants know. And like, it is just,
did
it was
not?
Just so dumb. No, it was just completely, which is just absurd. And it's like,
this is why it's like, I'm sitting here and I can think of the fact that you should be telling
there are no drivers.
Yeah. And that's the thing where it's like the people that are the ones that are going to get hurt and like the ones that are not going to get tipped and the ones that are going to be like the receiving the abuse are the people that are the ones like doing, like carrying out the services. Meanwhile, like some greedy fucking execs are like, yeah, let's do it for 3 hours. And it's, I have a grievance
with
them, too.
We're never getting sponsored by Grubhub.
Literally.
Fuck Grubhub.
I hate that.
It was bad.
This is why I'm a DoorDash / Caviar / Uber Eats only.
I'm a big, when I order, I just do pickup.
I mean, that's really smart.
I don't like to deliver.
The one person that I know that got their food on time just did pickup. And I would have done that. I just didn't think about it. It was just
Mine came 2 hours after I ordered. I think if you ordered right at 11:30, you could have gotten it.
All right, guys. All right. Let's wrap it up. Any parting SpongeBob words?
You like Krabby Patties, don't you, Squidward?
Ew.
So gross.
Is there anything else? Oh, wait. Okay. This is the last thing I'm going to say, and then, Talia, end it.
Okay.
It's a good quote from the show. Okay. Bye, Talia. Bye, Julia. Bye, Talia.
Why do you say bye, Talia, twice?
I like Talia.